For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Good Wednesday afternoon. Welcome into Grant and Danny. It's August 14th, 2024, and you are listening to The Fan. Alongside Danny Ruye, I'm Grant Paulson. We've got a really good show planned for you today, including Albert Breer of MMQB and SI joining us at 5:30. To discuss his stop in at Commander's Camp yesterday. Danny, what's up?
Not much, my friend. This is a little bit of a throwback, right, to your days on the beat. You're grinding, getting stories. Little news breaking today from my guy, Grant Paulson. Don't think I didn't notice that. Breaking a little bit of news.
Well, you had a more exciting day than noticing that. Danny Ruye playing pickle in his own backyard.
Yeah, I did that.
That's pretty exciting.
That's pretty neat. That is pretty cool. My buddy came over and we got a sport court in the backyard for Sport Court of Washington, and it's pretty amazing. I just was hitting the pickleball in my backyard, and I'm going, this is pretty cool.
Most people are trying to find pickleball courts, and then you got to reserve a court and wait a day or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know how you cut that problem out?
Yeah.
You just get yourself a pickleball court.
Get yourself one. You go ahead and get it built for you. It's a pretty incredible process. There's a lot that goes into it. These are real professionals that know exactly what the hell they're doing.
They better be.
Well, yeah, obviously. But from every step of it, so the demo guys or the earth moving type guys, like a real construction crew rolls up and they're digging the earth and leveling it and putting this down and, you know, building kind of the base. Then the concrete guys come in, and it took them minutes to lay this big flat concrete piece of ground. Most of the time was just spent watching it dry just to make sure that everything's even and perfect and smooth. And then the guys come in with the actual tiles and, you know, build the little jigsaw puzzle piece and paint the thing up, and next thing you know, got yourself a court.
I want to come over and work on my free throws.
More than welcome.
Might have to get some shots up over at the Ruye.
So if you'd like an opportunity to Joan, here it is.
Oh, no.
What I did yesterday, no one's around, so I'm home alone for a couple days, Kevin McAllister style. And, you know, I didn't really feel like doing much, so I did a little. I got my weighted vest. Okay? So far, are you with me?
Unfortunately.
It's a weighted vest that I put on. Just went out back onto my own court, got some shots up. Just, you know, jog around, get the ball wherever it lands. I shoot it, make some shots, made some free throws. Just getting a little workout in with the weighted vest on, suburban dad.
That's a lot.
Right?
Did that come with the sport court, or was that a separate?
That's a separate purchase, the old weighted vest. They don't throw that one in there.
That is a wacky.
The 25-pound weighted vest.
I feel like you've got one surprise up your sleeve after another these days.
Indeed.
With your weighted vest.
The weighted vest.
Did not see
now,
that
you know
coming.
What else you didn't know about? I know you're trying to start the show, but now you got me started.
Nah, we're having fun.
Well, you know, because I'm a sweatier gentleman. You know
you like
that,
to
right?
sweat.
I hate it, but I ends up it happens a lot.
You're good at it.
Yeah. If there's a sweat Olympics, you know, we'll hear my anthem.
Danny Ledecky.
Seriously. What's happened to the point playing pickleball is I get my hand gets so sweaty, it's affected the grip.
Not your sweaty hands.
Well, I frankly lost a tournament because of it. My poor partner Alex is carrying me through a couple games. We win the first game 11-0. I told you the story. Middle of game 2, I'm almost passing out. I'm so sweaty I can barely hold the paddle. And the other team was like, we need to target that guy. And we lost the next 2 games. We lose in the finals. It's heartbreaking. I said, I can't let that happen again. Now, part of that's being in better shape. We're working on that.
Is this the part where you tell me you have gloves?
I have a pickleball glove. It's a fingerless glove, so it goes up to the knuckle. And it really helps with the grip. And it's like a batting glove for baseball, but it's for the pickleball.
Is your wife happy that you're doing physical things? Or does she acknowledge that you're a huge nerd now? On a scale of thrilled to embarrassed, where is she at this point?
So if one,
it's legitimately good happening here.
Yeah.
But also, guy, you have a bowling bag. You know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah, totally.
You have a pickleball glove,
bowling shirt with my name on it,
weighted vest.
Mm-hmm. So if one is, we're going to end the relationship and it's over. I'm too embarrassed to be with this person.
Right.
And 10 is good for you, hon. Do more.
And thrilled by it and, you know, turned on by your existence now.
2.5.
Okay.
3. Like, we're teetering. Like, this is not a great, like, she doesn't like this.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Well, there's things about it, if I was her, that I would like. The gloves is probably a bridge too far.
That's one of those where I'm glad she doesn't come with me to pickleball to see it. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Now
it's just your backyard.
Yeah.
She just has to look out the window and she goes, who's that guy in those fingerless gloves?
Who's this pudgy zilch with a glove on his right hand like he's Michael Jackson in his prime?
That is tough. But congrats. I'm excited that the court is up and running, and today we are maiden voyage. It's a good day at the office. You're right, though. Trace McSorley coming to Ashburn. He is signing with the Commanders. Here's what's particularly interesting about this news. McSorley signing with Washington as a fourth quarterback because Sam Hartman's hurt doesn't seem like it would be that big of a deal, except with Hartman out and a preseason game looming on Saturday night, he's going to play against the Dolphins, it sounds like. So the way this is going to work, my understanding is, and I don't know all of the details, but I think Jaden Daniels is going to play less than you and I want him to. Probably a couple drives. Marcus Mariota is not then going to come in and play a quarter or two. Remember, he threw the one pass in the first preseason game. I think he's going to get a drive or two. So assuming that the drives are 6-7 plays, there's not three and outs, it is possible that those guys are done by the end of the first quarter. And instead of having Jeff Driskel go play three quarters of football, I think they're bringing in Trace McSorley so that he can play this weekend. He knows the offense. He played for Cliff Kingsbury in Arizona in 2022. He kind of fits pretty well with what they're doing as a dual threat. Driskel runs really well. Mariota, Daniels, obviously, guys who can help you with their legs as well. So I think he's a fit for the offense that they're running, in addition to already knowing the scheme from his time with Kingsbury. And so I would think there's probably going to be a Driskel appearance in the second quarter before halftime. He would play the majority of the third quarter into the fourth, and then you'd see McSorley in the fourth quarter. The other thing is, I don't think Hartman's just out for this game.
Yeah.
He may be back for next week, but next week, most teams don't play anybody. So let's say they put Jaden Daniels on ice. Even if you give Mariota a quarter, if there's no Sam Hartman, again, you don't want to play Driskel for three quarters, it doesn't sound like. That's not their goal. So even if he were to play a half of football, that's still a quarter left over again for McSorley. So I think you'll see him a couple times the next couple of weeks.
I do.
Playing in the second half of these games.
And he's an interesting player for me. I know he's a local guy, and there's certainly local ties, and that's fun.
Briarwoods High School, grew up in the Ashburn area. I want to say like 10 minutes from the park. I don't know my Ashburn geography as well as, say, Jason Bishop, but I think he is a 10-minute drive away where he grew up and lived from Redskins, now Commanders Park.
So, obviously, local guy, someone I'm rooting for, and we all kind of are. So, now transition to the sports discussion part. Not an NFL quarterback to me, and that's okay. But what a valuable piece he might be for like a practice squad. Not because maybe one day he'll get called up and take signals for you, but think of the scout team possibilities. An athlete like that emulating next time you guys play an athletic quarterback, that guy can run all of that stuff and be give you a good look for defenses, right? Athletes like that are that, you know, quick and fast and strong, not a tremendous thrower of the football, but those kind of guys can give your defense a pretty decent view, I would say, a couple of times over the next season or so. So it's he's intriguing to me if Hartman is indeed out for a longer time.
Yeah, I mean, the thing about McSorley is he's started an NFL game and he's played in Baltimore, in Arizona, and to your point, he's been all over the place. So I think he could add something to a quarterback room. Just his existence, having been in a bunch of buildings beyond the ones we know of, he's been signed and in practice squads and around facilities for years and years and years. And I think there's something that you can add in that regard when you're talking with Jaden Daniels when they're sitting there. It's not like he's experienced anything Marcus Mariota or probably Driscoll hasn't, but I just think it's an easy addition to the room, and he knows the offense every bit as well as, if not better, than the guys that are in the building right now because he spent parts of two seasons with Cliff Kingsbury already. And maybe he's tweaked the offense some. In fact, I'm quite sure that it's not the exact same playbook, the exact same scheme.
But you think terminology and some things would cross over, yeah.
I would think it's like 90% similar to the playbook that he had with Arizona. So all of those things are beneficial. And yeah, if he comes in for a couple games and gets a cameo, then he's just auditioning for another job somewhere else maybe. Or maybe the practice squad here, depending on the Hartman injury, how serious it is, how long it lingers. You want a developmental fourth guy in your building, probably. You want someone on your practice squad. If they keep three, then you would maybe have that fourth guy on the squad and he can hang around and be right at home and go get mom's cooking every now and then. So, yeah, I think for him, it's an awesome thing, and I'm happy for the family.
Yep.
For the Commanders, I think we know what the deal is at quarterback. Jaden Daniels is the starter, even though they have neglected to say that for whatever reason.
They could just say it.
But he is clearly the starter. Mariota is pretty obviously the backup, and Driscoll's the third guy. I would keep all three. I actually think Driscoll's their best quarterback, not named Jaden Daniels. But my guess is they want Mariota to come in game out of the bullpen. He would probably be the guy over a several-week span, too. But I think if for some reason, knock on wood that this doesn't happen, you know, Daniels is not available for an extended period of time in any competition where Mariota and Driscoll have to lead the team, I think by the end of that stint, Driscoll would take over. So I would just keep him in the building. I like him.
Yeah, as another veteran voice,
a third quarterback. I mean, he's put some decent film out there in regular season play.
Yeah. It's always a number crunch thing, and then now with the rules on third quarterbacks, it's not the craziest thing in the world to me to keep a third guy, especially when the first two guys, frankly, are runners. Right now, Driscoll's athletic too, but not in the same vein as a Mariota, obviously, or Jaden Daniels. But maybe it's a different look, and it's also, you know, the more, I don't know, less injury prone, you would think, of a guy that's going to maybe be taking a little bit more contact and breaking some tackles and being in the secondary in terms of some of the running attempts. But yeah, that's not nuts to me to have three.
Speaking of quarterback injuries, we don't need to spend a lot of time on this, but it is an update that came our way within the last hour or so. Bad news in Minnesota. J.J. McCarthy had his operation today. Remember, they were going to find out during the surgery how serious the issue with the meniscus was and how long he'd be out. The rookie quarterback from Michigan who won the national championship last year will miss the entire season.
Ugh. Just gone like that. There's your red shirt. Start over again next year.
And the real bummer is he looked awesome in the preseason game. For what it's worth, which isn't a lot. But he goes out. He's 11 of 17 for a buck 90 and a couple touchdowns. And the fan base was giddy. You and I were talking after the game, both about how we shouldn't take a lot out of this, but we also know the score and how this is going to work. This is going to get the drum beat going for him to compete now the rest of this camp in preseason. Well, that solved itself, unfortunately, for the Vikings. It's Sam Darnold's show.
Yeah, it is Darnold City. It feels like the fourth team in just a handful of years, from Carolina to the Jets to Carolina to San Francisco. Now it's the sort of the rotating carousel. He'll be in Minnesota. It's a good fit. I mean, it was a good fit in San Francisco with Shanahan, good fit with Kevin O'Connell. But I think that lowered their ceiling, honestly, talking about Minnesota, a division where one team is really, really good. Another team is getting a little bit slept on, is also really good. And then Chicago is kind of the sexiest team in the league at this point.
So McCarthy out for the year. Penix almost certainly not going to play unless something happens with Kirk Cousins. Brings us to a rookie crop that includes Caleb Williams, the unquestioned starter in Chicago. They named him their guy during rookie minicamp. Jaden Daniels, not named the starter, but is the starter. Bo Nix in Denver could win that job.
I think he's going to win the job.
He had a pretty good showing in his first preseason game, and it's not like there's anybody there. Let's be honest. I mean, who's going to win the job over him? Right? You know what I mean? Like.
Yeah.
Is Jared Stidham their starting quarterback? I doubt that very much after you drafted a guy in the top 15. So that's kind of the crop we'll be watching then moving forward this season early on.
So it's interesting how this all goes, right? The six guys go in the first round, including Drake May in New England, who looks like he's going to sit.
Drake May. Yeah. And May, I would imagine, doesn't start week one, although that's TBD. The way they sat him after one drive makes you think he's closer to playing than people are suggesting, but maybe he doesn't play until a couple of games in, but he'll play this season.
Yeah. I'm not as invested as maybe you would be if New England was a first division club. I'm more curious as to what they're doing. Their plans and how they're behaving, and some guys are holding out, some guys are holding in. They can't wait to extend everybody off of a 2-win team. I don't know. I'm very interested in what New England's doing in this post-Belichick reset. But yeah, so the six quarterbacks, two, you know, one injury, one situation, then the variables are guys like Drake May and, you know, then maybe Bo Nix winning the gig. The guys at 1 and 2, though, week one, all in, let's go, we'll see you.
Some of the wind has just been taken out of the back of the sail here for me on the rookie class with the McCarthy injury. And now two guys that almost, without something crazy happening, we won't see it all this year. And two plus, if May's not the starter right away, then won't be on the field at least week one. But I do think Nix will be named the starter and that we will have three guys who are. Yesterday, the Nationals beat up on the Orioles. If they could win again tonight, little mini two-game sweep of Baltimore, do some damage to the Birds, that would be a pretty amazing accomplishment for the Nats, playing spoiler, as the Orioles are trying to win the American League East, fell behind the Yankees yesterday. Juan Soto, I don't know if you guys have heard of this dude. He's a really good left-handed hitter for the New York Yankees. I don't know. I think he is a rookie, maybe. I don't think he's played in the big leagues.
He didn't start in New York, though.
No, he didn't?
Nope. Bounced around a little bit. A couple teams.
Okay, but not particularly good in other places?
No, he was. He put up some pretty good numbers.
He's so young.
Yeah.
He couldn't have left the team already.
No, yeah, a couple teams now.
Really?
Yeah.
Three home runs last night.
Three?
For Juan Soto.
Oh.
Yankees move ahead of the Orioles in the division because the Nats beat them handily. James Wood, for the second time in his career, he has not even been in the big leagues for 40 games, and he's already had two four-hit games, has his batting average up over .280.
And the first pitch from Keegan Aiken is lined into left center field. A base hit toward the gap. Chasing to cut it off. Kowser. Wood trying for second. The throw is offline. And Wood in with a pop-up slide and his fourth hit of the game.
I got my Cruz Wood 2024 shirt on.
You do.
Those are available, by the way. You can go purchase those if you'd like at the 106.7 The Fan merch store. Get yours now. 106.7 The Fan. shop.com. Dylan Cruz homered last night in AAA as well.
Is that right?
That's three bolts in four games for Dylan Cruz as he is closing in on the major league.
So Dylan Cruz does. Give him a minute. He's going to acclimate to whatever level he's at, and then he starts to thrive, and it's happening right now. I cannot wait to see him in the show.
I'm thinking September. Might get to see him and James Wood in the same lineup.
Quick shout out to Andres Chaparro last night. That's why baseball's the best, man. That kind of stuff. Toiling in the minor leagues. A guy that was tearing the cover off the ball. I think he's 25 or 26 years old. Just been kind of lingering around, part of a system, but not really that well thought of or that high a tier of a prospect. This is like another Joey Meneses type thing. Not that, you know, he's been in the minor leagues for a decade like Meneses was, but rolls in his first game against a marquee opponent, just three doubles. You look at all these numbers, hitting .750 with a 1,500 OPS, things like that. It's just awesome. I love that thing that doesn't happen in any other sport.
Yeah,
like it does in baseball.
25 years old, 8 seasons, 630 games, 2,700 plate appearances in the minor leagues before he finally got to make his debut with the Nats yesterday. They acquired him in the Dylan Floro trade from the Arizona Diamondbacks right at the deadline.
Like 402.
And he had three doubles on three pitches in four at-bats last night in his debut. So, fun win for the Nationals. All right, next here on Grant and Danny, let's get into Jahan Dotson, who played way more in the preseason opener than you might have thought or any of us expected. What does that mean for Dotson? That's next on Grant and Danny.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Grant and Danny on the Fan, thank you for making the show part of your day. I just got a text from a tipster. The tipster works here at the radio station. He was on the air from 10 to 2. His name's J.P. Finley. And he informed me like any good friend would.
Mm-hmm.
There's ice cream in the lobby right now.
Here we go.
Apparently. Now, as someone who wasn't aware of this information, I'd like to get more details on this. I was thinking maybe, and Anthony, if you're willing, your mission, should you choose to accept it, perhaps you could go do a little scouting reconnaissance for us, if that's something that you'd be willing to do.
Get some steps in, come back with information.
Yeah, I can come back with like 3 or 4 flavors at a time, maybe.
3 or 4 flavors seems like a lot.
Like this hour, I go taste 4.
Get on right up on that microphone. You're going to have to pull that microphone up to your mouth.
This hour, I go downstairs, taste 4 flavors, come back with an update. You know.
Oh, interesting. So
go back down, get next hour, get another 4.
I see what you're saying. Yeah. Like you're thinking we're interested in you getting ice cream for yourself, and that's nice. And like I hope you do.
I want you to get ice cream.
Grant wants to know what's down there so that he can get the ice cream.
Right. See, Danny and Grant and Darius might also want ice cream. So what we're going to have you do, if you don't mind, is just go do a little scouting. We want to know what type of ice cream they have. Is it scooped, or are they giving out little containers? And how do we get involved? Those are the things that we'd like to figure
out. And you can have some ice cream for your trouble.
Yeah. And by the way, when you're down there, get yourself some ice cream.
Eat a bunch of it.
But then bring those answers back, and you got to let us know when we have to go down there by and how this all works.
Copy.
Thank you.
Love it.
Easy.
Anthony, ladies and gentlemen.
Anthony's here.
So far, so good.
Yeah.
On Operation Replacing Ryan Clary.
I was going to say.
Who's on a little vacay, a trip. Hopefully, Clary has a blast. We will be checking in on Clary throughout his time away. But that's a good start for Anthony.
I thought so. Great
his
debut right there.
Willingness to help us on Operation Get Ice Cream. Danny, Jahan Dotson played a lot in the preseason game.
Yes, he did.
You know what I think? I think this is them moving him to the slot more often than he's played in the slot. Wanting to get him some work there. Well, wanting to indoctrinate him into the position. What do you think?
It stands to reason. So for people that are saying he's now in that tier with, you know, roster hopefuls and guys that won't have large roles, I don't know about that yet. But it's what we're doing is we're working back from that's pretty atypical. If you're a starter, if you're a contributor, if you're a guy that's a bona fide that everybody knows, it looks like what Terry McLaurin did. You play for 11 snaps and you put your visor on, you do a sideline interview and you have jocularity and have a great time. That's what starters do. Guys that did something different, see Jamin Davis, see Fedarian Mathis, see Jahan Dotson. That's not what it looks like. So it's curious. This isn't, though, like Davis, where he's going to a new position and he played into the fourth quarter. This seems to me someone that they're almost either, whether they're trying to send a message saying, you haven't done anything yet. Let's get to work. Or you haven't earned your relaxation. You haven't earned having your feet up on the sideline after one drive. Or if it's a new position, something is...
So do you think they're challenging him and pushing him?
Maybe to a degree. I think something is... Like, he is not in the... I don't know how to say it. The rarefied air. He's not in the exclusive tier one group on their roster this point.
Do you think him playing as much as he did was more than just... He's obviously not Terry McLaurin.
Right.
There's only one wide receiver on this team who is a stud, star, entrenched, unquestioned, here as long as you want to be here, we're paying you all the money kind of player. Everyone else can kind of be treated as go out and compete in the preseason, right? Like, do you view it as a story that Dotson played as much as he did?
So I think it definitely is. And it's not a, doesn't mean his roster spot's in danger or anything crazy like that.
Yes,
I don't think anybody's
think
going
that
far.
That's a bridge too far.
Yeah, 100%.
Because there's certainly people that will jump to the conclusion that maybe Jahan Dotson is fighting or on the bubble for a job. And I don't think that that's accurate.
Right, I don't think so either. But I would say if Curtis Samuel was here still, he wouldn't have played into the second quarter, right? There's a distinction that we need to draw
here. I fear that he could get hurt 1,000 times between the first and the second quarter.
Fair criticism. And yes, by the way, he would have missed 17 different plays and then been play to play and then sat out the entire game. But a guy that was a bona fide, honest to goodness, number two receiver, a starting receiver opposite Terry McLaurin, a guy that's a 1A or a 1B or even a bona fide number two, would not have done that. Like, I refuse to believe that this is what that would look like in any other place. Like, if you go to Seattle with DK Metcalf and Jackson Smith and Jigba, or you go to Chicago, pick any receiver situation, the guy that's the number two behind the stud, right? Did Devontae Smith play deep into the second quarter? No. I understand the distinct. There's the extra caveat is he may be getting more reps in a certain position, but those reps happened at the joint practices. There's more this week. He'll get plenty of time to be on the grass and be more of a slot receiver. This to me is you are down a notch trying to work your way back up. It's more to it than we wanted to get you some more reps of Jeff Driscoll running some outs out of the slot or a couple of choice routes. This to me is a little bit more than that. It's nowhere near the he's on the bubble. We're deep down in the depths. He's still going to play. He's still going to be a part of it. How big? I think they're kind of sending a message. It may not be that much.
I'll give you my rebuttal in just a second, but I see Anthony is back. And so I want to tap into our investigative reporter on all things ice cream, Anthony, who's back in studio to see exactly what's going on downstairs.
Okay, please, yeah.
So, Danny, for one second.
That's fine. No, please.
Set important. You and Jahan Dotson to the side.
Yeah.
Anthony, what's going on down there?
So they close at 3, so we're going to have to make a quick decision.
Already got my decision made.
Okay, we have, what is this? Six flavors.
Six flavors.
Yeah.
Wow. What is the point of this, by the way? Why are they doing this?
So this is something that the building does annually. There's annually a ice cream social.
They do this annually?
This is annually, yes.
Annual. This is
annual.
Thanks for coming to work sometimes.
Oh, so instead of getting $800,
yeah,
we get ice cream, right?
From the building.
Right. Very good. So, Anthony, so what are our flavors?
So we got raspberry sorbet, which I am particularly interested in. That sounds like my speed right
okay,
there.
Okay, that makes one
I'm
of us.
I'm a sorbet guy. Have as much of that as you want.
Yeah,
sorbet,
you
big sorbet
all.
Guy here.
You enjoy that.
Birthday cake.
Come on.
Now, I am a chocolate-only guy generally, but birthday cake ice cream can get it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So we got strawberry shortcake.
Nope.
There we go. That's what I'm looking for.
Okay.
Salted caramel pretzel.
Yes.
Not. I can keep that.
Calm down with that.
Is that pretzel-flavored ice cream? Is that what that is?
They said salt. Salted. Great. Bring it.
Okay.
All of it.
Okay. Gotcha.
All of it.
All right. Chocolate brownie.
Oh,
that's Grant
why
speed.
Did they have to put brownie in it? No, I love
silly.
Brownies.
That's Grant speed right
I
there.
I love chocolate and I love brownies, but I don't need them both in the ice cream.
I don't know. Maybe I think you got to try that one.
Okay. I think that's you.
Vanilla bean. Which is just classic. You can't go wrong with vanilla beans.
It just means vanilla, I think.
Does it?
Yeah, I think it's just vanilla.
I thought there were beans in it.
No, there's no beans in it.
Are you sure?
Well, vanilla comes from a bean, FYI. So they wouldn't just put beans in the ice cream as a topping.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm learning something. I didn't know that.
Stick around. You're in a seat where people learn things all the time. Ryan Clary learns things every day. He doesn't always repeat exactly what he learned.
It doesn't regurgitate it as well.
He's definitely our guy.
Mm-hmm.
Was that all the flavors?
That's six.
Yep. That's all of them. So okay. I imagine next is going to come me taking you guys' orders and
getting,
going down there.
Look at this veteran.
So Anthony.
Let's get these orders in.
Okay, so let's do this. Darius, you go first.
Strawberry. Anything strawberry, works for me. Yep.
Okay.
I'm in on
I
that.
I would like the chocolate brownie ice cream, please, sir.
Nothing for me. I'm going to be good.
Whoa,
I'm going to behave myself.
Whoa. Yep.
I'm going to behave myself.
Guy, just get some ice cream.
Can't do it?
No, listen, I thank you.
Can't do it.
Makes it easier for me.
What are you going to get?
Oh, the sorbet. You know, non-dairy option. Good for you. It's great. It's
good,
great.
Good for you is a stretch. It's like less bad for you, but yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Better for you, I think. Thank you. No rush. You've got,
but some 23 minutes.
No, but now until 3, you do it at your own leisure. All the best to you, sir. Good luck and Godspeed.
Good work, dude.
Thank you to our friend Anthony, who is making plays. That's a 57-yard kick return right there to set up 1st and 10 on the plus side of the field.
When's the last time Ryan Clary brought you ice cream?
It's been a little while.
Been a minute, hasn't it?
I don't know that he ever has. Now, that's not his fault. I don't know that there's been an ice cream option here when Clary's been here. Clary's the kind of guy, don't you even question that. Clary would be down there getting you ice cream right now. You send Clary to get coffee like once every 3 hours.
And you're going
to
bring that up. I'm just saying, end and net, net, bottom line. When's the last time he brought you ice cream? You see what I'm saying?
He would easily enjoy bringing us ice cream any other day.
He hasn't done it.
I can't argue that.
He hasn't done
it. If I'm supposed to refute that, I can't refute
it. You can't
that.
Refute it.
I can't.
Mm-hmm.
Jahan Dotson.
Yes.
Back to that.
Refute that.
We had to figure out our ice cream. I apologize to everyone. It. Quick little show meeting to make sure we got what we needed.
Mm-hmm.
Now we get back to the football stuff. If I was Jahan Dotson, I'd be a little bit miffed with the role in preseason game one. But I also think I would look at it as I played almost 60% in the slot. If I play in the slot this year, I'm going to have my best season. Cliff Kingsbury, I saw someone had a funny zing online. They're like, Cliff Kingsbury like hits the slot more than the old folks at the, you know, at the MGM or whatever. Like, he wants to feed that position. Now, we could have a debate. I see someone in the 106.7 The Fan YouTube chat is saying, just what you want from your number 16 overall pick a couple years in is to have him running around in the slot. I think we need to separate where guys were drafted, what was thought of them from the previous regime to right now. The goal for Adam Peters, Dan Quinn, this regime should be in this system that you're now running, how do these guys fit best? How do you get the most out of them? If they've got to change positions, Jamin Davis, if they've got to change roles, Jahan Dotson, so be it. What's done is done. The proof is in the pudding. The picks weren't good.
Right.
They didn't make enough good draft picks. They missed way too often in free agency. I don't think we should harp a ton on that. We should keep score and acknowledge, man, oh man, Ron Rivera. And we will later in the day when we talk about a extension for a linebacker that everybody wanted here that Ron chose Jamin Davis over. But in the meantime, I think if he's in the slot, I'm excited about that. Now, I don't know who's going to be on the outside catching balls opposite Terry if he's inside, but I think Jahan Dotson can do that. I think it'll help him beat press and beat shift, not get stacked up at the line of scrimmage as much. He can use some of his shiftiness to lose defenders. I actually think it's going to be a good thing.
So I think it's better for the team if he's not an outside guy. And I think that was where my evaluation of him was wrong. I thought he could do both. I thought he could be, you know, a guy. I think the reason for his lack, or I thought the reason for his lack of production at times at Penn State was terrible quarterback play. And I'm watching this guy win in traffic. I'm watching this guy go down the field. I'm like, this guy can do everything. And everybody thinks him as, he's just a slot guy. Now I actually think he's just a slot guy. So it's better for him. It's better for the team. And this has kind of been my point that they don't have another outside guy that's worth a darn. And that's why I was advocating all offseason for them to go do something in that regard. But yeah, I don't think this is a, you know, he's on the bubble or he's, you know, cast down with the third stringers. I do think, though, this is a message that he is not up with the real top level ones who were out after the first series.
Yeah, it's also a rotational position. And I don't want to discount that either. Like, you're going to have to slide all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
You'll play inside, you'll play outside, you'll play the X, the Z, you know, the Y, whatever they call their slot. You're going to play all over the place, right? So I think that's part of it, too. Let's open up the MGM National Harbor listener lines on this for you guys at 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. First things first, what did you think of Jahan Dotson playing as much as he did in the opener of the preseason? Was that telling or interesting to you? And then secondly, what's your expectation for him this year? Do you worry if he's in the slot about the other spot on the outside opposite Terry McLaurin? Grant and Danny on the Fan. With Danny Ruye, I'm Grant Paulson. This is The Fan. Stream us on the 106.7 The Fan YouTube page. You can watch our show. Of course, wherever you go, all around the DMV, Take us with you in and out of the store, running errands, whatever you got going on with the Odyssey app. It is free and available wherever you are. And we are live on our flagship, 106.7 in the DMV, and in Richmond from 3 to 6 today and every day as part of our Grant and Danny network here. Let's go to Joe's in Reston, wants to talk Jahan Dotson. Joe, what do you make of how much he played in the opener?
Yeah, I'm not really too worried about it, to be honest with you. I think the offseason is really for evaluation, and they just really trying to figure out where he's going to go. But, I mean, in my opinion, like, it's not so much a skill set thing. I really think it's more of a size thing. They're going to find a lot of better matchups for him on the inside. And I think another one of his big problems is, like, if you ever watch this guy try and block, he's just really struggling in the run game, which is going to hurt. And just one more thing is that I think early on in Jaden's career, they're really going to spread it out wide with a lot of receivers. And I think it's just about getting your guys in the right spot for Jaden to, you know, find that person.
So you actually said something there,
thank you, buddy,
that I think is really interesting, which is a correct assessment that Jaden Daniels likes to throw the ball outside. He threw a couple of specific routes way more often than everything else when he was at LSU. But one of the things he did best, and it's funny that we've already seen it in three throws, is that vertical go ball, that nine route on the outside, or even occasionally like the fade, but toward the sideline. Anything kind of deep down the side of the field, he excelled at. A lot of times to his right, which is what you saw in that preseason game against the Jets. But I just told you Kingsbury really likes throwing to tight ends and really likes the slot in his offense, and that those positions normally feast. I'll be interesting to see how those things marry, because if Daniels' best bullet is outside the numbers, and if Cliff Kingsbury traditionally has really liked feeding the slot,
that's a good point,
then you probably want to be outside right now. Like, the one play that Jaden was in charge of, so to speak, that we know he called, he went four verticals. He wasn't looking in the seam or to the back out of the backfield. He was looking to De'Ami Brown against the sideline going up top. And if Jahan Dotson was lined up there, that's Jahan Dotson's opportunity to make that catch.
No, it's a good point. I mean, the amount of stuff that I think they're going to do that they didn't have to do much of at LSU, that, you know, quick game stuff close to the line of scrimmage, those, you know, sort of body blow type passes, right? Zach Ertz 5 yards turnaround. Zach Ertz, you know, bumping off of a linebacker in between a safety, or, you know, Benson out of the backfield, or Eckler, et cetera. He's got to do more than that, I think, than he did at the college level. And, you know, I think he's got plenty of arm talent able to do it, although that screen pass that he threw to Eckler, you know, doesn't pretend well, but I think those adjustments will be made accordingly. So the deep stuff, you're right, is going to be predominantly on the outside. It's an interesting dichotomy, right? A little push and pull, again, to maximize the player and, you know, make the offense tailored to what works best.
Here's a decent question on the 106.7 The Fan YouTube chat. Somebody says, could it be more an endorsement of De'Ami Brown than an indictment of Jahan Dotson? I don't think that's necessarily out of the question. Look, I'm a little bit dismissive of all the De'Ami Brown hype because last year I got burned big time. You can go back and find the tweet. I left practice and I had watched two straight days, I think it was, of De'Ami Brown looking awesome. And I think I said, prediction, De'Ami Brown will be way more involved than anybody thinks, and this is the year where he's going to come on. And it didn't happen, right? So maybe it's just the fact that I was burned. I think it's more, I've seen him play well in camp three straight years. I know what it looks like when he dominates in practice. He always does, and then the regular season starts. You don't see it to the same extent. Maybe that was not his fault. Maybe that was opportunity or usage. I don't know. But yeah, I think it is very possible. De'Ami's a little bigger. In college, he was outstanding vertically, made unbelievable deep catches time and time again from Sam Howell at North Carolina. I definitely think it's possible that they really have liked De'Ami, and maybe in whatever Cliff's offense is, that it's different, maybe he's a better fit here. It is air raid-esque, like North Carolina was.
So I hadn't thought of that, mostly because, kind of as you said, I'm even lower on him than you are. I've dismissed it. Like, I've done that with everyone from Tavon Austin to Leonard Hankerson to Malcolm Kelly to, you know, name that guy that dominates in shorts and a t-shirt, then catches 11 balls.
You, like, move on from guys pretty quickly, I will say.
When
you sour on a guy, it's over.
Well, when there's hype and the production is nowhere close, then yes, I do. So yeah, 100%. So I hadn't considered that, but it's also not the craziest thing in the world, honestly. You know, I mean, it really isn't. It's a different body type, and you already saw All of his highlights, talking about Downey Browns, are those vertical traffic. I mean, that one-handed catch he made from Carson Wentz in that Titans game going down the sideline. I mean, maybe there's a role for him there. So that's not the most insane thing I've ever heard.
Things we think after 1 week of preseason games in the NFL. Next on Grant and Danny, we've got Albert Breer on the show today to break down the Commanders and Jaden Daniels after his stop in Ashburn. At 5:30, we're taking you up to 6 on The Fan. With Danny Ruye, I'm Grant Paulson. This is The Fan. Stream us on the 106.7 The Fan YouTube page. You can watch our show. Of course, wherever you go, all around the DMV, take us with you in and out of the store, running errands, whatever you got going on with the Odyssey app. It is free and available wherever you are. And we are live on our flagship, 106.7 in the DMV, and in Richmond from 3 to 6 today and every day as part of our Grant and Danny network here. Let's go to Joe's in Reston, wants to talk Jahan Dotson. Joe, what do you make of how much he played in the opener?
Yeah, I'm not really too worried about it, to be honest with you. I think the offseason is really for evaluation, and they just really trying to figure out where he's going to go. But, I mean, in my opinion, like, it's not so much a skill set thing. I really think it's more of a size thing. They're going to find a lot of better matchups for him on the inside. And I think another one of his big problems is, like, if you ever watch this guy try and block, he's just really struggling in the run game, which is going to hurt. And just that one more thing is that I think early on in Jaden's career, they're really going to spread it out wide with a lot of receivers. And I think it's just about getting your guys in the right spot for Jaden to, you know, find that person.
So you actually said something there.
Thank you, buddy.
That I think is really interesting, which is a correct assessment that Jaden Daniels likes to throw the ball outside. He threw a couple of specific routes way more often than everything else when he was at LSU. But one of the things he did best, and it's funny that we've already seen it in three throws, is that vertical go ball, that nine route on the outside, or even occasionally like the fade, but toward the sideline. Anything kind of deep down the side of the field, he excelled at. A lot of times to his right, which is what you saw in that preseason game against the Jets. But I just told you Kingsbury really likes throwing to tight ends and really likes the slot in his offense, and that those positions normally feast. I'll be interesting to see how those things marry, because if Daniels' best bullet is outside the numbers, and if Cliff Kingsbury traditionally has really liked feeding the slot,
that's a good point.
Then you probably want to be outside right now. Like, the one play that Jaden was in charge of, so to speak, that we know he called, he went four verticals. He wasn't looking in the seam or to the back out of the backfield. He was looking to Deami Brown against the sideline going up top. And if Jahan Dotson was lined up there, that's Jahan Dotson's opportunity to make that catch.
No, that's a good point. I mean, the amount of stuff that I think they're going to do that they didn't have to do much of at LSU, that, you know, quick game, stuff close to the line of scrimmage, those, you know, sort of body blow type passes, right? Zach Ertz, 5 yards turnaround. Zach Ertz, you know, bumping off of a linebacker in between a safety, or, you know, Benson out of the backfield, or Eckler, et cetera. He's got to do more than that, I think, than he did at the college level. And, you know, I think he's got plenty of arm talent able to do it, although that screen pass that he threw to Eckler, you know, doesn't pretend well, but I think those adjustments will be made accordingly. So the deep stuff, you're right, is going to be predominantly on the outside. It's an interesting dichotomy, right? A little push and pull, again, to maximize the player and, you know, make the offense tailored to what works best.
Here's a decent question on the 106.7 The Fan YouTube chat. Somebody says, could it be more an endorsement of Deami Brown than an indictment of Jahan Dotson? I don't think that's necessarily out of the question. Look, I'm a little bit dismissive of all the Deami Brown hype because last year I got burned big time. You can go back and find the tweet. I left practice and I'd watched two straight days, I think it was, of Deami Brown looking awesome. And I think I said, prediction, Deami Brown will be way more involved than anybody thinks, and this is the year where he's going to come on. And it didn't happen, right? So maybe it's just the fact that I was burned. I think it's more, I've seen him play well in camp 3 straight years. I know what it looks like when he dominates in practice. He always does, and then the regular season starts. You don't see it to the same extent. Maybe that was not his fault. Maybe that was opportunity or usage. I don't know. But yeah, I think it is very possible. Deami's a little bigger. In college, he was outstanding vertically, made unbelievable deep catches time and time again from Sam Howell at North Carolina. I definitely think it's possible that they really have liked Diami, and maybe in whatever Cliff's offense is, that it's different, maybe he's a better fit here. It is air raid-esque, like North Carolina was.
So I hadn't thought of that, mostly because, kind of as you said, I'm even lower on him than you are. I've dismissed it. Like, I've done that with everyone from Tavon Austin to Leonard Hankerson to Malcolm Kelly to, you know, name that guy that dominates in shorts and a t-shirt, then catches 11 balls.
You move on from guys pretty quickly, I will say.
When
you sour on a guy, it's over.
Well, when there's hype and the production is nowhere close, then yes, I do. So yeah, 100%. So I hadn't considered that, but it's also not the craziest thing in the world, honestly. You know, I mean, it really isn't. It's a different body type, and you already saw all of his highlights talking about Downey Browns are those vertical traffic. I mean, that one-handed catch he made from Carson Wentz in that Titans game going down the sideline. I mean, maybe there's a role for him there. So that's not the most insane thing I've ever heard.
Things we think after 1 week of preseason games in the NFL. Next on Grant and Danny, we've got Albert Breer on the show today to break down the Commanders and Jaden Daniels after his stop in Ashburn. At 5:30, we're taking you up to 6 on The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges. And acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.